Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our phone number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678 is the phone number to call and leave a message. With me this week, I have two of my friends joining me as guests. I have Jay. Jay, how you doing?
I am lovely tonight. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Jay. Thank you very much. We also have Sarah here.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I am just wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Perfect.
Excellent. So I invited you guys on because you guys are hockey fans.
Yes.
Indeed.
And the hockey season's winding down. There's only about three more games left in the season for most teams.
Indeed.
And then the playoffs are going to start up really soon.
Absolutely. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time.
That's right. Now, you guys are both...
It will be exciting regardless of whether Boston makes it or not.
Because you guys follow the Bruins, currently they're in sixth place. They should be clinched. They're probably going to make it.
That depends on a lot of factors right now, because they're essentially... I mean, they are out of wild card status, but not by far. And the teams that were chasing them are really close in points. So, depending on what transpires, even tonight, there's Ottawa's playing the Penguins, the Senators, and with that outcome will greatly affect like the standings as well. Because as far as wild card goes,
I know Ottawa's on the outside looking in. Right
yeah,
now.
But they were right behind Boston. And if you look at the standings right now, you have the Penguins, Detroit, and Boston are all tied for points right now.
Right, 95.
So,
yeah.
Anything could happen within these last three games. There's the way Boston has been playing, to go from, you know, one of the top teams in the previous, I don't know how many years, they've made the playoffs.
Eight years in a row.
And atop the division, pretty much.
And this year being the first year in that long where it wasn't a guaranteed thing for them to get into the playoffs.
It still isn't. Yeah. It's far from it.
It's like they ran into a lot of trouble. And they did a lot of things, aside from just injuries that happened, they made some trades off-season that they didn't think would be that important, but turned out to really severely affect their game.
Well, you don't know what you've lost until it's gone, pretty much.
And that's what they've learned, and also the Islanders learned. Boston traded one of their defensemen, Johnny Boychuk.
Right.
The Islanders picked up. Now, the Islanders, no offense, are much like the Jets. At least they were.
It's very accurate.
The hard luck story. Like, they haven't been a contender for 30 years, literally.
Yeah, not since Alexei Yashin and Pat LaFontaine, I think. And that was like 99. That was late 90s, early 2000s. Right. But ever since then,
They haven't won a cup since 82, I think.
The drive for five. Yeah. They're looking for that fifth cup, drive for five.
Yeah, so, but now they get a defenseman from Boston, as well as, I want to say, they picked up a goalie as well. They got Boston's
goalie.
And that, combined with a few other people, like just picking up their game, they went from like zeros to heroes in the middle of a season. That, like, even so much to the point where they've taken on organically, the fans have started the yes movement for them. The whole Daniel Bryan thing.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're the perennial underdogs this season, and now they're serious contenders for the cup.
And it's really interesting that all this comes as they're leaving the Nassau Mausoleum, it's called, the Nassau Coliseum.
You got to think maybe somebody behind the scenes was like, look, you're moving to the Barclays Center. It's a nice place. It's a lot of money. You better pick up your game.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And Wong is always, the owner has always been, you know, it's been really rough for Islander fans these last X amount of years because they've always talked about, you know, where the team's located. You know, they're under the shadow of New York City. The Devils for the last 20 years have been highly more successful than the Islanders have.
This year, notwithstanding.
No, not this year. But I mean, they've had three cups, since 95. While the Islanders are still looking at 84 as the last time.
You're right. When people look at the Devils being the Rangers' top local rival, That says something. Yeah. Like, they don't even think about the Islanders up until this year.
Yeah.
When their fortunes change, and change in a big way. Their goalie, Halleck, their main guy, like, mm-hmm. It's really, this year I tend to find the narrative in hockey is the, like, the rookies, the newer guys. It's all about them this year. The only reason Boston is in playoff contention now is because of the rookies they have. Look at Pecorine for the Predators. He's another new guy who is, you know, a shoo-in for the Vezina Trophy.
He's amazing.
Yeah,
he's really good. It's all about the new guys this season. You know, unlike the WWE and wrestling, where they keep the new guys down.
They do.
The young guys in hockey right now are where it's at.
Absolutely. And there's constantly an influx of talent in the NHL. Where you're not, you know, somebody like Jaromír Jágr, he's almost an oddity at this point.
At this point, yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of the classically popular and really game-changing players are gone. Brodeur is gone, of course. Right. I mean, you know, that's why the whole influx of, you know, Sid Crosby and Ovechkin and all these younger players who, while they're not necessarily young anymore, but still they have that, you know, or around them of still being youthful and still being that new blood that's part of the game.
True. And what you say, as far as Jágr being, like, you know, sort of different, it's true. Like, him, when they traded him to Florida, you know, he wasn't producing all that much for the Devils anymore, but he got there.
Yeah.
And it turned everything around for Florida. It put them,
like, back in contention.
Yeah, and Florida's acquired a few people. Again, mining talent from Boston. They got Sean Thornton, who was one of the best fourth liners, enforcers around, but he was also a team leader. And he kind of whipped them into shape. And with the addition of Jágr, it gave them, you know, a legend to kind of help them figure out how to score. It turned around their fortunes, too.
Yeah. Florida, I always feel bad for them. I mean, but here's a franchise. All the other franchises, it seems, shares their arena with, and most cities, with an NBA team. You know, obviously Pittsburgh can't do that. Pittsburgh doesn't have one. The Devils don't have the Nets anymore. But down in Miami, down in the Miami area, there are two different arenas. There's the American Airlines Arena, where the Miami Heat play.
Right.
And they're pretty much the only ones. The Panthers are out somewhere in the boonies of Miami. They have their own arena by themselves. And I don't understand how a franchise like that. Well, first of all, any Florida team in any sport, it always seems, doesn't do well. It's almost like an LA team or in football. You know,
it's a little ridiculous.
I know, and the problem is because a lot of the residents of Florida are transplants, and so they're going to want their own team. You know,
right?
A lot of New Yorkers, like, of course.
From what I read, the attendance really fluctuates depending on what team is visiting. They don't really have a hometown crowd.
No, like, they
just
don't.
For the Panthers.
From what I understand, Nashville didn't exactly have a hometown crowd for the Predators.
That's
crowd
true.
For the Predators, but since recently, once now they're all winning, about it.
Yeah.
They're
selling out games now, and I mean, look at the Predators. They were amazing this season. They've fallen off a little bit.
Right.
They've lost a couple, but for a good chunk of the season, Predators were, they were up
top of the league. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they're still probably, what, like fifth or sixth in the league right now.
I believe they're sixth.
I believe
we're all checking stats on it.
I know, that's right.
They are fifth now.
Oh yeah, and they're third in the Western Conference. Yeah. But do you think about a city like Atlanta? Atlanta has had two NHL teams, and they've lost them both. Were the original, the Atlanta Flames. Then they went to Calgary, and then of course the Thrashers, and they're back up in Winnipeg. You know, it says something when, well, I mean, it's hockey, so obviously about north of the border it's going to be more popular. But when Atlanta loses two NHL teams, Canada, but like upper Canada,
you know, way
Alberta and Winnipeg, and you know, just way up there. So,
and I know, like, certain teams are having that struggle down south. Aside from the Florida teams, I know Arizona Coyotes, they had a lot of trouble with attendance.
That were the Phoenix Coyotes.
That's right.
Now they're Arizona.
I know, but. Yeah, not really moving them that far. It's still in state.
Yeah.
But they weren't owned by the league for a little while?
They were.
Yeah, they. For some reason, when Bettman decided to try the Sun Belt with the Deep South with hockey, it didn't always work out well.
But that might change, because, let's see, as far as the league goes, okay, Arizona is second from the bottom.
Right.
So that's a good thing for them, because come next year, draft season, there's two players. Eichner. Eichel is one of them. His last name. And the other one is Mick something. I can't remember his name. Apparently, these two players are, like, they're claiming are generational players. These are going to be, like, the future of hockey for the next 10 years.
Right.
The bottom teams get first draft picks. So either Buffalo or Arizona is going to get one of these players that could very well change their fortunes around completely with just these players alone.
That'd be really helpful.
Just the examples you were saying before, one player can change an entire team around. I mean, look what happened.
No, that's absolutely true. So, yeah. You know, it's one player alone could totally turn everything around. And apparently these two guys... Like, it's not often you hear in the news about, like, hockey prospects whatsoever, but their names are all over the place. And so either one of those teams are going to get these guys because they have the first pick. So, again, Buffalo could go from the absolute worst team in the league, who were, at this point, their fans were hoping that they would lose,
yeah,
get one of these kind of, like, blue-chip players, you know. And it could totally turn everything around for them. Things could change on a dime. Like,
absolutely.
You know, last year's Stanley Cup like winners are like now struggling.
Well, the Kings are on the outside looking in right now. Yeah. They're 1 point behind the aforementioned former Atlanta Thrashers, now the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, a lot of things can change like that.
Canada's having a good year, like as opposed to like the previous couple of years where, you know, you always have Montreal in there.
Yeah, of course.
You know, a lot of times the rest of Canada was left wanting, but this year, like, the Flames are in it.
The Flames, the Canucks, of course, you know, the Winnipeg.
Ottawa's, like, just on the edge there. That's, Canada's now, showing up.
I always feel bad, though, unfortunately, for the Maple Leafs. Because it's been, they're in a, first of all, I love original six teams. So, yeah. I'm a Devils fan, but I also really like when I see an original six team in the playoffs and go making a deep run. I always enjoy seeing that. So I enjoy the Bruins, of course, and the Rangers and all that stuff. But the Maple Leafs have been just gone from the, from everybody's mind these last 20 years plus.
Well, when you have teammates fighting with each other during practices. They've had some issues this season. So,
and you know, I would have thought there would have been more like interest with them after last year's stadium series that they played, because it was one of the it was the largest attended hockey event ever, and it did amazing ratings and whatnot on TV.
Right,
but they just couldn't capitalize on it.
No. You know? I mean, and I have to give the NHL credit and Bettman for doing the stadium series, because it becomes it's a big event, and nothing's cooler than when it starts to snow.
Exactly. Like playing an outdoor arena and getting that. Yeah. And you can see it with the players, too.
Yeah.
Like, they enjoy it.
They get into it.
Just like, you know, growing up playing pond hockey. And they're having a good time with it, you know, and that really... It really sells it to people who may not be so invested in the sport to see something like a spectacle like that.
Right.
You know, I think it's a wonderful thing, and it's just a shame they only had the one game this year, aside from like the Winter Classic. But next year, I think they plan on a couple stadiums.
Here. Well, I mean, there was two this season, because the most recent one was the Sharks and the Kings in Northern California.
Yeah, and then they had it was the Winter Classic, right?
Yeah, it was the New Year's Day one. Which, again, great idea, you know, just having it on New Year's Day, making it a big event.
Right, and next year's is going to be Montreal against Boston, which is, like, the longest-running sports rival.
Yes, again, an original
series. They played more games against each other than any other teams in any other sport.
And you just think about all the classic names, Orr and Richard and Drysdale and all that stuff.
No, his classic name is my favorite, Jerry Cheevers.
Yeah, exactly. Guy Lafleur, all of them. So who do you like coming out of the East? Let's just say everything stays copacetic, and so, you know, the bottom three in the East are Boston, Pittsburgh, and Detroit.
Well,
aside from wanting Boston.
Even though I love Boston, they're not going to get far. Mm-hmm. They're too inconsistent year.
This whole season, though, they have been plagued with so much. They started off with horrible injuries. Then there was the whole goalie situation. And, I mean, you know, they had Tuukka. They rely on Tuukka so much.
He's playing 60 games this year.
And, I mean, he's incredible.
Instead of doing, like, the normal 40 or whatever. It's
but as incredible as you are, you're going to burn out. And then there was the whole issue where their backup goalie, Svedberg, who is he's a good goalie. Mm-hmm. He's really good. He's improved dramatically. He was sent back down to Providence. They brought up Malcolm Subban's brother.
Malcolm Subban is a PK.
PK Subban brother, Malcolm. PK. he was a disaster.
He wasn't
he had
ready
the
for
one
prime
game.
Time.
They right. sent him back down. They had more injuries. It's just they have just had a horribly inconsistent
season.
Year, a tough season, and I don't think they I still don't think it's the end, and I still don't think they've been able to get their footing.
Probably not, and you know that'll be found out really quickly.
Yeah.
In the first round,
the other
especially.
Thing with them is like Boston, they're a team that they're only as good as like their confidence level. If they lose a game, you can tell they're shot. They're shot for the next couple. They can't
yeah.
recover from losses. It just shakes them so bad mentally that it's just you already know like. Him, you know, Jay and I will be watching a game, and if they lose one really badly, we know they're going to lose the next one.
Yeah.
Because it's just, that's been how they've been this season. They win a couple, then they lose one, they lose the next few, then they win, and they come back, and then they fall right back down. So,
right.
but, it's been rough.
but as far as, like, looking at the East, though, personally, I'd like to see the Islanders go through, because I like the
I
underdogs.
Would like to see that, too, yeah.
You know, it'd be really great to just have all that fan support and everything else going behind to push them through. I'm not necessarily counting on it because the Rangers got a taste for it last year when they really
yes.
weren't expected to go as far as they did.
Mm-hmm.
And my only and so I expect them to go through to the end. I don't know about winning, but they probably will push through unless again the Islanders pull off something. Which would
although that
wonderful.
Would be great to see because right now as it's set up, they're pretty much gonna if New York. Goes through the first round over Washington, they'll get him in the second round.
Right.
Because the Islanders are the fifth seed right now. It might change, might not, but still, in any case, if the Rangers and the Islanders make it through the first round, they could have second round, which unfortunately, it would be great, but at the same time, like that's something you would want to see for the finals, the second round,
but.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, I kind of see the Rangers pushing through.
Just my only worry with them is they put Lundqvist back in goal now after like he came back after being hurt.
Right.
I kind of personally feel they should have kept with Talbot, because even though you know he was a backup, he stepped up in a huge way. And if it wasn't for him, I don't think they would be on top like they were.
True, but at the same time, you go with who you know, and you
Lundqvist
know that
is Lundqvist.
I know he's Lundqvist.
King
but
Henry.
He's coming in cold at the end. I guess it's good that they have the depth goalie-wise, but still.
But at the same time, they're also risking and thinking you can work out the kinks in the first round.
Right.
It's seven games, you know. Sure. It's against what's probably going to be either Detroit or Pittsburgh or Ottawa, maybe even the Bruins.
It could be.
But you still have that sort of room to breathe.
Right.
So, you get seven games. You hope that it picks up. If not, then you have to throw... You know, the emergency back, you know.
Yeah, which wouldn't be a problem
backup
for them
plan.
To do, because obviously he's been on fire.
Absolutely. So. And what about the West? What do you think?
Now, the West, on the other hand, I would have said all season up until recently, the Predators.
Right.
They were really hot, like Pekka, incredible goalie, just the team was on fire. The last couple weeks, though, they kind of fell off.
Mm-hmm.
Some, I'm not sure quite what happened. I would still like to see them go to the end.
Right.
As opposed, you know, the Ducks are always, you know, you kind of
they're
think
always
they're,
there.
Always, they're always there.
They're always
right on top. But, you know, Chicago is not the unit that they were.
And a
and,
couple
you know,
years
they've
ago,
had
now.
A lot of injuries, too,
yeah.
now. And, like, they're kind of suffering in the same way that Pittsburgh is. They're kind of falling off at the end of the season, not really getting it together.
Yeah, true.
So I don't think they're going to be the dominant force that they used to be. So, you know, I don't know about the Blues. I can't say I know that much about them.
I don't know. They're
I mean,
they could surprise us all because that's the type of team that would just kind of push through. Like because St. Louis is sort of the unknown.
Yeah.
Even as, sure. you know, they're in second place in the Western Conference, but... I mean, still, you just don't know a lot about them.
That's true.
All you know is that they signed Brodeur for a couple weeks, and
right.
that was about it. You
well,
know?
That and, you know, TJ Oshie, the star-making performance in the Olympics.
That's true. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, way back when as well.
But, you know, as far as,
right?
but, yeah, as far as the West goes, I'd really like to see the Predators, like, just, you know, get their stuff together, which...
Last year they were supposed to go a lot farther, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So
I think this year they...
Could be.
It could be their time. And if they don't go to the end, they'll get far.
True.
You know. I'm not sure who they face right now. Let's see. Look it up in a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Technology. Right now, they would face Chicago, as a matter of fact, in the first round if things stay as it is right now.
Yeah, Chicago's a fourth
seed. But even though Chicago's been up on them, I think, this year, winning, I don't think Chicago's in a position right now to where...
Probably not.
Like, Chicago's used to going to the dance. Nashville's not. If they make that first round, they're going to be hungry. It's much like the Islanders. You know?
Yeah.
Or if Ottawa happens to make it in, they're going to have that fire that will carry them.
Yeah, I don't know if I see really a lower seed going far in the West. It's probably going to be Anaheim, which I read an article a couple years ago. And are you familiar with Freakonomics or that sort of outliers idea? And they were talking about how Southern California has this hockey renaissance. What they found was a lot of the players who would go there at the end of the career in like the late 80s, early 90s, even into late 90s, they decided to, why would I, I'm in Southern California, why am I going back to, you know, Canada or back to Europe? So I hang out there, and then they start coaching or start teaching, give private lessons to local hockey kids, and lo and behold, because of their abilities, there's this big churn of talent coming out of Southern California, and it all goes back to the outliers, that idea of like, you know, the thing was, you know, ages in hockey, or, you know, kids who were born closer to the cutoff date got more time, so all that sort of stuff. So
that makes perfect sense.
Which is why Anaheim, you know, has been so strong these last several years.
The West Kings has been dominant. Like
Kings winning two times in the last 3 years. Yeah. I mean, all that stuff.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I think it's great that you know, such a temperate climate is really big into hockey now, and such amazing talent is out there too. Right. You know,
but I mean, their climate, you know, they're still part of the Sun Belt, and you know, you look at, as we were talking about, Arizona and Atlanta and Florida and all these other locations just aren't getting as much as Southern California is.
Right.
You know, it's the draw, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know if I want to see New York versus another SoCal team.
I'd like it to be mixed up somehow. That's why I'd like to see Nashville in there. Something different. I you know, you get tired of, it's like seeing Triple H in a title match. You get tired of seeing him fight Cena, fight whomever, you know, that sort of stuff. It's
right.
I like it when it's mixed up and somebody unexpected gets in there.
And I've talked about this in the past, you know, hockey and the NBA have sort of the same problem where, call it a problem if you will, but you want to see those named teams, not necessarily the players.
Right.
You know, in basketball, you know about the LA and Boston, the Celtics and the Lakers and all that stuff, and the Bulls and the Knicks, and those big market, big name teams that you've heard, and not, you know, you're not really going to be interested in Hawks, Warriors, or, you know, which might just happen this year even. So, you know, for somebody who's on the outside, when you hear Rangers and Blackhawks, or even better, Canadians and Blackhawks.
Right.
That really kind of gets you going, even if you're not much of a hockey fan. You go, that's the Canadians. That's the Blackhawks. I got to watch that. You know, something strong like that could really be, you know, either a detriment or a help to the NHL.
That's true, but so, you know, I as far as like name teams and whatnot, generating interest. I try to look at it in the sense of, I'd be perfectly okay with two, like, nobody teams playing in, like, you know, whether it be the Stanley Cup or, you know, the NBA Finals or whatever, if there's a wonderful narrative or story to go to it, you know.
True,
go with
absolutely.
It. You know, it's like the team from out of nowhere, like the underdogs, you know. Like
Cinderella.
Like, kind of like, what was it, Wisconsin beating...
Wisconsin Kentucky. Beating Kentucky.
You know, it's like... I didn't really follow March Madness all that much.
Right.
But when I read about that, I'm like, oh, because you know, I'm interested.
Because
now,
you know, Kentucky was undefeated.
Right.
You know, they were, I forget how many wins, but they were undefeated. And Wisconsin, while, yes, Wisconsin was a number one seed in their bracket, in their region, still to come in and, you know, everybody who knew basketball and college basketball said it's going to be a tough win for Kentucky if they did, and lo and behold.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking about that, you know, I was in a couple brackets, and I had Kentucky winning that game, but of course they didn't.
I think everyone did.
25% of all brackets registered online, you know, through ESPN or Yahoo or any other sport, CBS sports, they had Kentucky as the winner. 25%. Wow. Usually the most you'll get is 10% of one team.
Right.
But here was 25% across the entire country, people thought that Kentucky went. I was one of those. And they actually had a chance. And, you know, it boggles my mind that if you have an opportunity, they were down by two. They were down by three.
Okay.
And time is running low. And they had a foul shot. So you get two shots.
Right.
And you made the first one. So they're down by two. Now, it's a play. It's risky. But if you want to win, you got to do this play. I think there was like 18 seconds left. And so you're not going to have many other chances. And he shot the foul shot and he made it. They were down by one. But the play is where you take the ball and you pretty much throw it at the backboard.
Right.
You have it touch the rim or touch the backboard to where it comes back to you. Because once it hits the backboard, it's open. You can step into what's called the lane.
Yeah.
Because if you step in before the ball hits the backboard of the rim, it's called lane violation and then it doesn't count. But you throw it, you make sure it hits, and you pretty much get your own rebound. And then you go for either a dunk or a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you get fouled, that's two more shots you can get.
Right.
Possibly to tie it. But Kentucky, for some reason, didn't listen to me, but I'm not the coach. But
they couldn't get your psychic,
I know,
thoughts,
just hitting them. But I would think, John Calipari, who's their coach, is actually being inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. If you're looking at your perfect season going out, and don't forget, because he has perfected getting freshmen to come in, and then they leave after 1 year. It's called one and done.
Right.
So these high school seniors come in to the team, they play for 1 year as freshmen, and then they leave for the NBA and possibly make millions.
Right.
So these are, they're not going to get another chance. And this is a whole new group, and there's not a guarantee that next year those new freshmen are going to do even better. So, and you can't get much better than perfection. With an undefeated season. So if you have that, I don't know, to me it's just if you have that chance right there, take it. Don't hope that the other team misses, and they haven't been missing, and they don't turn the ball over. So it was just very disappointing. I was excited to watch, and I was very animated.
As animated as, what's her name, Ashley Judd?
Yes. And then, Kentucky, they kind of did the right thing. They rioted,
Right.
But, it's funny. The winning team riots, and then the losing team riots. And I always enjoy that because, it's silly.
You enjoy violence. I guess.
Well, just on that, I'm not going to call it harmless fun. Obviously, there's, there are injuries and, of course, property damage. But at the same time, I don't know what else you expect. You get, because sports, you get into such a fervor and like, what am I going to do now? And if you lose, then I know Vancouver did that several years when they were in the finals. Every year, Vancouver's in the finals. If they lose, they're going to, and they riot. And that's what happens. And it's very
which is funny for Canadians, really.
I know, but it's hockey.
Right.
And it's hockey.
All bets are off with that.
I know. You never see that with, football. And I think because it's one game.
Yeah.
It's one game, whereas the other ones, they're many games.
Right. The tension builds.
Yes, it does. Yeah. That's something like that. Now, Sarah, I know you do follow Boston. That's because your parents, right? Correct?
No, actually.
No?
No, not at all. I'm sure they're delighted that I follow a Boston team since, they're hardcore New England Patriots and I'm just not. So I'm sure, when I first started watching hockey, I'm sure they were thrilled that it was a Boston team. So I'm,
Well, they weren't necessarily thrilled that you were watching hockey.
No, not at all.
My father's like, oh, that's not a sport. Lo and behold, he's watching games
now.
That's the power of the game.
Right.
That draws you in.
He'll sit there, He tries to play it off like he doesn't care, but he's there.
He's there.
But sorry, I bring that up because I know that baseball season just started.
Indeed.
I know your parents are big Red Sox fans.
Oh, yeah.
Big time Red
Absolutely.
Sox fans.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, opening day was yesterday. Yes. Recording this on Tuesday, but opening day was on Monday, and the Red Sox actually had a really big offensive output against the Phillies. They won 8-0. All eight of their runs were scored via home run. They had five home runs, including a grand slam.
Wow.
Yeah, Dustin Pedroia and the new...
was your father crying tears of joy?
I'm sure.
Did I come home yesterday and he was just sitting weeping on the couch like, they're back!
Well, he didn't just have cataract surgery, so...
So he's crying anyway.
It's just... it was a coincidence.
It's the surgery. It's just
I'm not crying.
It's the drops. It's just the drops.
But Boston's supposed to have this sort of big resurgence because they've been trying this thing the last couple of years where they put all in for one season, pretty much take the next season off. They did that when they won the World Series in 2013.
Right.
And then last year, they were not very good. Traded a lot of pieces. And now they came back this year with a lot of off-season free agent signings and then a couple trades. And so there's a lot of feelings positively in Boston and a lot of teams around the league that Boston might have found a new formula.
Nice.
Yeah, because I know the GM's gone, Theo Epstein. He's been gone for a couple of years, but I think they might be onto something.
Putting the pieces together now.
Yeah.
Now, didn't the Mets win?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They won the 3-1 over the Nationals. They faced Max Scherzer, who was the number one free agent signed in the offseason. He made like a $200-something million contract for like 7 years and whatnot. But the Mets usually win on opening day. They actually have the best record. They actually have the best winning percentage record. They don't have the most wins because they've only been around for 53 years as opposed to like the Yankees who have been 100 years.
Didn't they lose?
The Yankees lost. Yeah, big time. There were actually a lot of lopsided wins on opening day.
Really?
Yeah. There were some close games, but there were some real lopsided ones. There was one... the A's took a no-hitter into the eighth inning, which was really big. I mean, they only won 3-0, but that sort of pitching dominance.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of the teams that you figured would be successful, like the Blue Jays over the Yankees, and that was 6-1. You know, their starter Tanaka.
At least Toronto has one winning team.
That's right, and this might be it. This especially might be it for Toronto. So
nice.
For the Blue Jays. But yeah, I'm excited that baseball season has started. I feel good for the Mets. I just feel good overall. I always enjoy the baseball season.
Right.
Because it's week in, it's day in and day out. It's always something you can really enjoy. Nice. Unfortunately, they still haven't figured out the whole blackout rules for the MLB television because I've talked about in the past, I've cut the cable. I know you guys have also.
Yes, we've cut the cable.
Indeed.
And you, you're able to watch the NHL games.
Most of them. Like, they have... They do run into blackout issues as well because of what's being shown locally on MSG. But since I don't have to watch every Devils game or Rangers game, it works out okay. Like I get the Boston stuff,
and that works out for you because you're an out of market fan.
Exactly.
Right.
Whereas in baseball, you can still be an out of market fan and enjoy it. But as soon as they play your local team, then you're in trouble.
See, I wouldn't mind paying a little bit extra to get the local games.
Yeah.
Like if I'm buying the hockey package, I want to see all of it,
Yeah.
And the same thing with baseball. I get business-wise why they do that, but I don't necessarily agree with it as a fan,
Now, the one positive I will say is that there was a ruling in the courts not too long ago where it's kind of like the first step towards getting rid of the blackout rule. And I know that the NFL, while they don't necessarily have to worry about it, there was a blackout rule in effect for the last, I'd say, 40 years. Basically, if your local team, say, if you're a fan, let's use the Patriots as an example, even though it would never have this bearing. But if you don't sell at least 75% of the seats by game time, the game will be blacked out to local markets.
Wow!
So if you're in New England and you're in Boston, and for some reason nobody goes to the game, or under 75% of the seats have not been sold, blacked out. You can't watch the Patriots in Boston because there's a blackout rule, and it extends all the way back to like the 50s when television first started, and the Bears were the big team, and it was all. The idea was to, while we're playing the game, you need to come to the game. Right. And if anybody can't make it into the stadium because it's sold out, well, then we'll put it on television.
Yeah.
And then that's where it started, and it delineated into. And there was a big problem these last several years with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Oakland Raiders. Nobody wants to go to the games because, A, they're, for the Raiders, they're in a bad stadium to begin with.
Yeah.
And, B, if you're Jacksonville, like, these are just not good teams. And so, thankfully, they've gotten rid of the blackout rule. So I think that along with the courts deciding, in the first step of getting rid of these blackouts, that I think very soon...
Well, what was the decision? What does it cover, like their decision in the courts?
I believe it covers that it's I don't want to say, I think monopoly. Like it might, it's some sort of problem with the idea of it now because, it was... that now internet is starting to be considered a utility.
Right.
And so because of that, vis-a-vis, it affects blackout rules where people can watch it on their computers and through something like an Apple TV and your devices, and it's a utility. It's really necessary that you get rid of the blackout. So because it's like electricity or water or anything else, you know.
Yeah, we can't stop your electricity for a night.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and now that because it's so, it's such a part of our everyday life and it's such a part of our own time. That's kind of like the first step. Like, right. It's not directly like you need to get rid of the blackout. Yeah. It's like, all right, look, if we're going to go down this road.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to make some concessions.
It's a step.
Yeah, it's a step, and that's all, you know, that's all you really want. So, but, well, thank you very much for coming on, guys. I really do appreciate this.
It was delightful.
Thanks
for Sarah, you run a website you want to talk about real quick?
I do. it's husheduphistory.com. We write stories and small little articles about some of the lesser known chapters of history. Crazier than true, but it is true. We have full features. We have Today in Hushed Up History, and it's a fun time.
I always enjoy following on Facebook, and they can find that hushedhistory.com and
hushedhistory.com. There's a Facebook page, there's Twitter, there's the website. We're all over the place.
Nice. Jay, now, yeah, I know you play music sometimes, right?
Yes, I do. Currently have a surfy instrumental recording project. You can listen to it at terminalsunburn.bandcamp.com. Check it out. And I also write for Hushed Up History.
Ah.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have to write something soon.
That'd be awesome.
But I've been recording music for the Terminal Sunburn project. So.
And that'll be really interesting to hear when that comes out.
I'd like to think so.
And thank you for listening again. You can call us at 626-427-7678. Leave a comment or just talk about whatever you want. And we'll record it and we'll put it up on air. Edit it, of course, if need be. And you can also find us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. That is where you can find us. Thank you again, Jay. Thank you again, Sarah.
Thank you.
Very appreciated. Take care and take it away, Andrew.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.